Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it's great. I feel absolutely privileged to be up here to share with you guys tonight. And I, you know, what God has put on my heart and the journey that I've been going through as Chris, you know, I just see what God is doing in his life, in his heart at the moment, the way it just comes out in his preaching and everything he says. I think it's just great. And I love it. It inspires me. And I've spoken to a few people about it. I love it. I love it when I hear about what God is doing in other people's lives. And often it comes from here. Often you hear only from the platform. But let me encourage you as a church, as individuals, share with one another what God is doing in your life. Share the revelation that you are getting on a daily basis, because it only inspires everyone else. Sometimes we can think, God's doing great stuff in Luke's life, and oh, that sucks because it doesn't seem to be doing it in mine. Get off your bum and make it happen. Say yes to God. Say yes to God, and he will say yes to you. Is that all good? Is that because I said bum? Is that right? Sorry. Switch up, bum. Yeah, all right. Anyway, I was going to say exactly what Chris pretty much just said. This morning's message was great, and I really encourage you again, a second encouragement, to grab that on the podcast on the website tomorrow about blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing, and in part, my message has that in it, so I'm sure it will bless you when you listen to it. Last week, we had a youth service here on Sunday night, which was really cool. We heard from Cass. Thank you, Cass, for sharing again. Yeah, you can clap her. Yeah. And I just shared briefly about the amazing work that our youth team does, our youth leadership team does. And I wanted to give you as a church a little bit of a glimpse of that. And I asked them all to record a video at a life group night that we had a little while ago. And so I had it prepped and ready to go, but I forgot to show it last week. So I'd love to show that to you guys now. Is that all right? Yeah. So we had a life groups at homes night, which is where our leaders invite their life group, their age group, into their own home, and they run a few things and they put a night aside for that. So here's a few of them, the people that remembered to actually record it. Here it is. Thanks, Andrew. Go for it. You can click the button, man.
Welcome to our U9 Girls Life Group. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Abby, and here's a few things that we do in our life group.
We love playing card games.
I think I'm going to win.
We eat lots of fabulous food.
And most importantly, we talk about the important things in life.
We love Life Groups! Woo!
Welcome to Year 9 Life Group. How are you going? This is Travis's place. Come in. All the guys are standing there. We're all happy. So we've got a few guys playing.
The boys are!
You want to see my pez?
The boys
are! Ben has a girlfriend.
This is where it's all happening. People in here, a bit rowdy over here. A bit more civilized out here. Yeah. We're going to have a good night.
All right, let's go.
Welcome to Year 7 and 8 Girls Life Group. I'm just going to show you around what we're doing tonight. So Kim's over here making some s'mores for us. Yay, Kim.
That was our s'mores.
And over here, the girls are just having a bit of a party. Cassie, say hi, girls.
Hi.
Maddie's over there in the corner stopping us. Going to watch a video and talk about how much God loves us. So, yeah.
Hey guys, we're here at the Gatchers house. Myself and Luke happen to be the Year 8 Life Group leaders. Why don't you come in and have a look?
One, two, three. Introducing the most amazing life group, the Year 8 boys.
Hi.
I'm Sky.
And we are the life group leaders for the Year 10 and 11 girls. And tonight, we are watching a movie and chilling. Come on in. Hey! Hey!
So as you can see,
we're at the top.
I hope you guys do too.
Thanks, Cass. We will have fun. So basically what you can take from that is if you want your youth to eat healthy, don't send them to Frontline because we eat a lot of junk. But it's good. There is life in our youth group. There is life and there is excitement. There is fun and it is a great place. We as a youth group want to encourage parents to bring their kids along to know that it is a safe place for them to bring them to. Not only a safe place for them, they won't get hurt, although sometimes they do. I just think of Zach Gates who has a fractured wrist from our roller skating night a few weeks ago. But generally that doesn't happen, but it is a safe place for them to come and talk real life. And we have great leaders who can input into them. The only reason they do that is because they were changed themselves at some point. So we have a great youth group. Last week, I feel like I'm just banging on about our other preachers, but last week, Chris's message again, Sunday morning, same old part two. He challenged us at some point there, to be aware of how God wants to use us on a daily basis at every single point during the day. And this has been a real challenge for me, even not even from last week, but recently. And after church on Sunday, it was funny, I popped into Coles on the way home. And when you're aware and when you ask God for the opportunity, he will give it to you. And so I was walking through Coles. I'm like, God, what do you want me to, where's someone? And I was walking through and I got to the checkout and the lady was there. And you know how we get to the checkout sometimes and they say, how you going? And what do we say? Good. How's your day going? Good. What have you been doing your day? Not much. Like that's the general chit chat that we give. And she said, what have you been doing today? And I was like, okay, I've been to church and it was really great. And I started talking about church and then she asked me the question. And she said, what church do you go to? And I'm like, oh. Good question. And so I said, LMC, I come here and it's down here and this is the property. Turns out she's an Oxley student and she has never been to church, but she's like, and she shared with me, she's like, I've been thinking about going to church so often and I really want to commit to going. And I spoke to her about youth group and told her some of the kids in her year level that come to our youth group. And so my prayer is that she comes along, but it's just a little, there was a tiny little, I was thinking about it later and that small conversation that I had, 10 seconds at a checkout, 20 seconds at a checkout. We think sometimes that we have to have an hour-long conversation with someone over coffee to get them over the line or to do whatever we need to do. But who knows? God can use the small things, yeah? God can use the fish and God can use the bread and he can expand that and make that bigger and go beyond whatever we even think it can be. So even the smallest opportunities, I encourage you to take those little opportunities as they come. Is that cool? Is that good? Good stuff. So tonight, my text for tonight is from John, and it is John 15, verse 1 to 4. If you want to grab it in your Bibles, that's cool. I like grabbing it in my Bible because then I can underline and highlight stuff as we go. But it says this, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Clean being you're already starting to be pruned. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And then a few scriptures later in verse 8, it says this. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. He is glorified as we bear fruit. God is glorified the more fruit you actually bear. Let's close our eyes, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come to church so freely and learn from your word. Father, we thank you that we can come and we can worship you. We can spend this time and take a moment out of our day, although it should be the whole day, take a moment out to just purely focus on you, Father God. And we do that tonight. Father, for each one of us here, for each one of these hearts, Lord, we just want to be open to you and hear what you have to say to us. We don't want to be hearing a word and just throwing it away at the end of the day. We want to be hearing it, letting it penetrate our hearts, Lord God, and allowing it to change our lives as we know it can. Holy Spirit, have your way in us and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not a huge keen gardener. I don't know too much about it. I like working outside and I like keeping my lawn and everything tidy. But when it comes to trees, I really don't know too much about it. Cass knows a little bit more than me, but together we try, don't we? We try and have a good garden. If you've been to my house recently, you know that it's not the case. But it doesn't matter. That's beside the point. But there is one thing I do know about it, and is it comes a time in most plants' lives where there is a need for pruning. Multiple times in their life where it's a need for pruning. For getting out the secateurs or the chainsaw. Chainsaw's a good one for it. And cutting a few branches off here and there to help the plant stay healthy. And I love it how when we look at the Word of God, it gives us examples, life examples that we can look at and we can actually relate to and we actually hear from. We can understand them. And things that like this are spiritual principles but have a practical outworking here on earth. And this one is no exception. Fruit trees especially, they require regular pruning for a couple of reasons. When these trees are pruned, not only does it encourage more growth in that tree, I'll make sure that's off, it encourages the tree to bear even more fruit than before when you prune it. Pruning can also be to get rid of a broken or a diseased limb that would otherwise allow sickness to travel into the trunk of that tree. So what is pruning when it's talking about us in our lives? When we become a Christian, we start to be pruned from that moment. And what's important to understand is that no one here is ever finished with being pruned. No one ever. A tree is pruned that it may grow and bear even more fruit, then it's pruned again, that it may bear more fruit, then it's pruned again, that it may bear more fruit, then it's pruned again, and so on. And our life with God is the same. No matter how old you are or how young, how senior you are, what is the word? I don't know. What's the word that's not going to offend? Old is best. No matter how many years you've been alive on this earth, whether it's lots or whether it's not many, no matter how experienced you are in this faith or how inexperienced you are, never deny the work of our master gardener, Jesus, in pruning us so that we may bear even more fruit. As human beings, we often find ourselves in a comparison trap. It's natural. It's comparing what we have or what we don't have with what someone has or what they don't have. What someone else does or doesn't do versus what we do or don't do. And often we can find ourselves looking at the way someone else is living and going, you know, I don't know if that's quite right. I don't know how do they justify doing that, knowing who they are, or they should know better. And while this is maybe true, it's not the point here. Pastor Graham shared a great illustration with me a little while ago when it comes to the responsibility that we have as leaders and also that we have as people who are experienced in our walk with God. And it was about a pyramid. And a pyramid, you know, it's a triangle. It looks like a triangle. Yeah, I'm teaching you something. Triangle. And it's got a really wide base. Pyramids have really wide bases and really small points at the top. And it's kind of like, if we explain it, when we first give our lives to Christ and we have this wide base down the bottom and God is there with loving arms to say, man, just I want to know you. Come here. And God is always there like that. Don't get me wrong. But we see some people come to know Christ at that point and they've been dabbling in things and they've been doing things in their life and they've been living a life that is purely a result of their environment, what their morals that they've been taught by their parents or what school has taught them or what the media is saying about them, what social media is getting them into about. And so that is providing that base for them. And as we live and as we learn and as we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our lives, that pyramid, we move up and up that pyramid to the point where it's to a point of Jesus being right at the top there. And it's like, okay, so those things that I did before, those things that I really enjoyed doing in life that may be against the Word of God that are down on this baseline here, as we move up, okay, we realize at that point, okay, I need to step away from those things. Why? Because I want to get closer to Jesus. Because I want to be more like Jesus. I want God to be able to use me in a greater way. And the more we continue to do that, the more we continue to go up that pyramid. And sometimes I think people can get it a bit wrong and go, man, I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to. It doesn't say necessarily in the Word of God that I can't do this. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not necessarily sin. It's some of the things that we think, maybe they're okay, maybe they're fine, yet God is challenging us. If you want to get closer to my son, here's the way to do it. Here's the way to do it. I think it's a really great way to look at it. So as we go on, we look at the Word of God and we listen to the Holy Spirit, and God reveals to us those different things so that we're not forced into a life that we can sometimes think we are, that I can't do anything, but it's God to guide us to be more like His Son. And in John 14:26, it says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit," and we know this verse, "whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you," the Bible, in the Word of God. So if we talk about purpose tonight, the purpose of pruning, we talked about it a little bit just before, but we understand the purpose of pruning a tree has multiple aspects. It's to, number one, encourage growth. Number two, to encourage a greater level of fruitfulness. And there's some other things we'll talk about later. And as we read earlier in John, Jesus says that every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He will take it away in order to allow the other branches to grow and be even more fruitful than they are right now. And I think it's a question that we, every one of us, ought to ask ourselves continually. What areas in our lives are in need of a prune? What priorities do you have in life right now? What branches of yours are strong and healthy, but they aren't bearing any fruit? I think that's a big question. What branches do you have in your life that may be strong and healthy, but they're not bearing fruit? Because the point is not whether our tree looks really good, or whether it's big, or whether it's small. The point is that our tree bears fruit. And I think if you were lost in the jungle, and you're on the edge of dying from starvation, that you wouldn't care about how big and beautiful the trees were. Maybe at the start, when your stomach's not about to fall off you. The trees might look cool. But after that, when you are in need of sustenance, when you are in need of the goods that that fruit can bring, you don't care about how big those trees are. You care about the tree that has fruit. You care about the tree that is going to save your life. Even if it's the smallest tree in the jungle, if the fruit is good, it will save your life. And we have a community here of hurting people that are walking around in the jungle on the edge of starvation. And we have the ability to be a fruitful tree. We are blessed to be a blessing in our community. What things do you have in your life that don't bear fruit? And again, I'm not necessarily talking about sin here. I'm talking about taking a look at the time that we spend on different things. What we put into those branches that aren't bearing fruit. But another purpose of pruning is to take away those branches, as we said, that do not bear fruit. You see, a fruit tree, as I said, can look good and it can be large and many leaves, but it will sometimes have branches that are growing but do not bear that fruit at all. And all these branches are doing is taking the nutrients and the resources away from the fruit-bearing branches. And this is why John said, in John it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." God doesn't want to strip us just of the things in our life that we enjoy, the interests we have. That's not His goal, but He wants us to be fruitful in all we do and to bring life to our relationships, to bring life to our workplaces, to bring life to our schools, to bring life to the random people that we meet. I've been challenged about these fruitless branches in my own life recently, even going back to our Feb fast that we've done for the last few years here at church, and I was I was praying and fasting about what to pray and fast about, and that TV just came to me quite immediately, as I'm sure maybe it's considered in a lot of us. And I ended up not watching any TV or consuming any media from my phone for the whole month of March. I skipped February and I did March. And it was through this time I actually realized how much TV I actually watched. I didn't think it was a lot. I didn't think it was a lot at all. But when you stop doing it, you realize how much it actually is. And it was a little bit painful to start with. Like some nights I'd get home and my body would just relax into it and I'd be like, oh, I just want to sit on the couch and not think about anything, watch something mindless. And how much TV is that? It's a lot of rubbish. But what started out to be a difficult thing turned into an amazing blessing, not only for me, but for my family at the same time. And not only was I drawing near to God, which was number one, the most amazing thing that happens through that time, but I was more productive at home. I was my relationship with my wife got better. Not that any of these things were bad, but they just got better. They just got better by me spending more time with God, putting that TV time, putting it into reading books, putting it into reading the Word, putting it into prayer, putting it into productive things. It changed every single part of my life, which you know, I should have known, but it was quite a nice shock to me that this was happening. I could hear God speaking more clearly, and it was all from one small decision to prune that branch of TV from my life. I've done it since, and every time, I was talking to someone the other day about it, and I said, I don't know why, maybe I just haven't made the decision to prune that completely, you know, completely all from my life. God's still working on that. Let me ask you the question. What things are there in your life that are branches that aren't necessarily bad or sin, but they're big, strong branches that are taking the nutrients away from the fruit-bearing ones? It could be TV for you, or it could be social media. Like, it could be the gym, housework, study. I don't know. Some of these things, then again, they're not necessarily bad, but are they taking the time, your time away from the fruitful things of God? Housework? No more housework. Take one thing from this, no more housework. Graham, you can stop housework. No worries. Yeah, did you ever start? I don't know. I don't know. I even think, you know, housework is important. All this stuff is important, but time with God is most important. Time with God is most important. Time with God is the number one thing in our calendar, and then everything else sorts itself out around that. And how often is backwards? How often it turns out being backwards? Let's slot in our life. And let's pop God on the end of it, yeah? If we have time. It's crazy. It's crazy. So there's one more reason for pruning I want to talk about tonight. And sometimes a tree can be going well, but one of the branches can become infected or it can be diseased for one reason or another. Now, the tree can still be healthy and it can still look very healthy. But the longer that branch is left on the tree, the more likely there is for that infection to make its way into the whole tree, down the trunk, to every branch, and before you know it, it can potentially kill that whole tree. And where a little bit of minor pruning needs to be done at the start, it ends up being a major operation and a major cutting back of that tree to make sure that disease is gone. And I think the same can be said about our lives. And you'll know straight away if there are some diseased branches in your life that need to be pruned. They need to be cut off and destroyed. And these branches, they don't bring life. And if left unchecked, they will, if they haven't already, influence the rest of your life. Every other part. But tonight you can see a change. And it's exciting that we know a God that is faithful and in Him we can see the change. Fortunately for us, our loving God knows exactly where and when to prune us. Even in a way, although it sometimes can cause short-term pain, it'll only lead to growth and fruitfulness in the long term. And as I was reading a little bit about pruning, one of the number one things came up is it said when you're pruning, make sure your tool is sharp. Make sure your tool is sharp, because if it's not, it can tear the plant and it can potentially have disease come in through that open wound. So it needs to be a sharp tool. And again, thank you, Word of God, where it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living. Word of God is living and powerful. We read these scriptures too fast sometimes. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. The Word of God is the sharp tool that is used to do our pruning a lot of the time. So we need to know it. We need to know it to allow it to prune those things off our life that don't need to be there, that are taking away from the fruitful branches. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I've got it in the message here as well. I loved how this explained it. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And there is no branch in your life that is so diseased that you cannot see it removed and you cannot stop it from coming back. There is no temptation. There is nothing there that you cannot stop seeing come return with that sharp sword that is the Word of God. And even if now God has indicated to you in some area in your life that it's need of a prune, I encourage you to just like say yes. Don't put it under the carpet for one more day. Say yes, God, come and prune that from my life. And He is faithful to see you through it. He will not allow you to be pushed past your limit. And He will always be there to help you come through it. In closing, I want to read this scripture. And it, I think, sums it up really well. It's out of Hebrews 12, verses 4 and 11. I've got in the Message version here. I think, again, it... You know, if you want to just close your eyes and I'll read it if you want, or you can read it with me, that's fine. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as His children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child He loves that He disciplines. The child He embraces, He also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us, so why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. Let's close our eyes and let's pray tonight. Thank you, Jesus. God, we our desire is to see You glorified, and we know that a fruitful life simply is just to see Christ honored in every single area of our lives. And if we looked at that and that is our focus, then we know the fruit will take care of itself. So Lord, we again say our desire is to become more like Your Son. And Father, if there's anyone here that has a few branches that are in need of a prune right now, Father, I pray that You would remind them that this pruning doesn't come out of a want to punish or to hurt, Lord God, but it comes out of love because, Father, we know that you know what is best for us. And we trust that right now, Father God. We trust that you know the branches to prune. You know where, you know when in our lives, Father. If you if you've got something here in your life, and again, it can be a branch that is diseased, or it needs to be cut off, or it can be a branch that maybe it's just getting too big and it's sucking the life out of the fruitful ones in your life. I just wanna ask you. I just wanna encourage you to stand with me right now, and I will pray for us that. We will have a new level of trust and faith in God to be able to prune them in the right way, and for us to be able to, you know, put more time and effort into the fruitful things in our life. If that's you, why don't you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for those that are standing right now. I thank you that you've shown them in their lives right now something that's there that that maybe needs to be cut off, Father. And I pray as they go tonight, Lord, that they would be filled with confidence and filled with the knowledge that you are doing this out of love, that you love them so much that you want them to have the best in life, Lord God. Lord, I pray that they would go with strength. Lord, they would go and know that they are equipped, Lord God, to fight this fight here on earth. And Lord, that we would see just an amazing blessing come upon their lives from the decision that they're making to allow you to do the pruning in their lives. Lord, we would hear stories, Father God, that would inspire us, Lord God, to let you do even more pruning in our own lives. By what we're hearing you do in their lives, Lord. Father, we are a people, we are a church who want to serve you. We want to see you glorified in our hearts, in our lives. We want to see you glorified in the ministry of this place. And Lord, if there is anything in our lives that we need to see changed or we need to see pruned, Father, I pray that we would be able to lay ourselves down and again say, Father, you can have it all. You can have every single part of my life. Because we want to be better reflections of your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for your word and the way it speaks to us. And pray again that you would have your way in and through us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.